Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the second year in a row.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me today. It's my pleasure. And I know it's like a dream come true for you. And as it is for Robert L. Jollis, who's our guest and our good friend. Rob Jollis is one of our top salesmanship experts in our brain trust. Heck, he's one of the world's top salesmanship experts in the world. He's the author of Customer-Centered Selling. He's also the author of How to Run Seminars and Workshops. And he and I have one thing in common. We're former Xerox employees, but he's our good friend. Rob, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here. Thanks.
It's good to have you back. And it's like a dream come true for you, isn't it, to be here?
Oh, I was dreaming about this last night.
Yeah.
I woke up with a cold sweat.
Hey, Rob, one of the things you want to talk about today is something called personality persuasion. Now, you know, if I had to stop and think about that for very long, I guess I could figure it out. But what do you mean by that?
Well, what I'm trying to really do is combine two models. I think traditionally what happens is the models separate themselves. There's one camp that will teach only sales skills. And maybe I've been guilty of that myself, really building processes and models and saying, here's how you persuade people, and here's how you sell. There's another camp that says, well, wait a minute, you better learn about personalities and how to use neuro-linguistic programming to figure out who you're speaking to, whether it's a dominant or an analytical. And Myers-Briggs has been involved in that for years, and Carlson Learning and DISC models. But they don't want to talk to each other. So they say, well, we'll tell you all about the personality. And the salespeople say, well, we'll tell you all how to persuade them. But we never really put the two models together. And when you put the models together, what you're really teaching yourself is how to adapt that swing to expand or contract based on the personality.
Right.
And that's what I'm trying to do.
Well, I'm glad to hear you talk about that because, as you may know, we actually have some personality experts in our brain trust, and they have talked to us about the five factor model of personalities that you may be familiar with, and you know the different, there are five different factors, and that each one of those factors actually has its own scale. So you may be heavy. We all have some element of each one of the factors. But the question is where are we on the scale of each one of those? Are we heavy on the extrovert? Or are we in the middle on the extrovert or on the introvert or whatever, whichever one of the five scales? And so I'm glad you're making this point, because what you're saying is that even though selling fundamentals are fundamental, and you and I aren't going to mess with those,
right?
We apply them to different kinds of people, don't we?
Exactly. And let me go a step further. I think I have trainers that work for me that are certified in many different personality type models. The problem, I think, historically, and your listeners would probably nodding their head right now, is that we typically take these assessments, if you will, find out who we are on these scales, and walk away going, wow, I've really learned a lot about me. Well, the sales part of me, Jim, says, that's terrific. And every time you sit in front of a mirror and sell yourself, you're going to be dynamite. The problem is, I don't really need to know who I am as much as, who's Jim? How do I adapt my style to fit Jim? Is Jim a little bit more analytical than me? Then I'm going to have to show up with some numbers.
Right.
Is Jim a little bit more social than me? Then I'm going to have to settle down and listen to the softball game that he played in.
Mm-hmm.
Is he more dominant? I'm going to have to do my research before I get in there and really pick up the pace. So that's what I mean in terms of trying to combine who the other person is and a sales model and work on the fly.
Well, you know, I suspect that people listening we've all done some of what you're talking about in a very unsophisticated but intuitive way. For example, I can remember calling on people when I was a young pup in sales, way back when I was with Xerox, for example. And I knew that this accountant I was going to call on did not want to have any small talk.
Right.
It was just the facts, ma'am. And I knew that I had to, you know, I had to put that face on. I had to put that approach on. And I'd go in, hey, how you doing? Here's what we got for you. Okay, fine, sign here. I'm out of here. See you later. You know, and then that made him happy.
Oh, absolutely. I went to New York one time and was selling in the garment district, and we spoke with someone who was so dominant that we had an appointment. We walked with him down the hallway, and my friend said, how are you doing? And the guy said, why? and we took a deep breath, and we said, okay, let's go look at that copier. And that's what he was telling us.
Yep, I missed some of those too. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our good friend Rob Jollis, the author of Customer Centered Selling, right after these messages.
I climb way up to the top of the nursery, baby. Got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Rob Jollis is our guest, and Rob, it's our fifth anniversary.
Congratulations.
Happy anniversary, baby.
Thank you. Thanks,
well,
baby.
We appreciate the 5 years that you've given us, the good work and outstanding information and the great support that you provide to small business owners. And so for all you do for us, we thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Give us your website, Rob.
It's www.jolles.com.
All right, and I have that website up in front of me, folks, and you even have his picture on the website there.
Don't let that discourage you. It's still a good website.
I usually send them to the ladies' websites who have their pictures up there, but yeah, even though Rob's picture's up there, folks, you still want to go to this website.
Yes.
Rob, we're talking about personality persuasion, and I was mentioning the fact that I remember people that I, without realizing what I was doing, I realized that I needed to behave a certain way. And you know, Rob, I actually got to the point where I felt like I was good at that. And somebody once said to me, once somebody observed me doing that, or they heard me talking about it, and they said, well, isn't that kind of phony? And I said, well, I don't think of it that way. I think of it as being successful, not being phony.
Yeah, what we're really trying to do, and I think we actually, more people do it unconsciously than they can imagine, and sometimes it's referred to as mirroring, is
right.
That all we're really trying to do is connect with that person.
Right.
And, I agree with you. I really don't find it to be a phony behavior. I find it a behavior that will make whoever I'm communicating with more comfortable with me. And so that's why I'm really just trying to mirror their actions. And as we said before we went to break, if we're dealing with a dominant individual and you don't feel like mirroring that individual, you probably don't want to visit them because they're not going to be wanting to have a conversation with you.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, that goes back to one of the earliest things, one of the earliest success perspectives that I ever had. When I was in college, working my way through college on selling on commission, you know, I waited on some people who weren't very nice. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I don't think I want to talk to people like that anymore. And then once I realized that I was going to have to make my living this way and you know, put myself through college, I said, you know what? I'm going to have to do business with those people because
yeah.
I can't do business with just the people that I like. And so I said to myself, I'm going to make it a personal point of development is to learn how to do business with people who are difficult.
Yeah, and I'll go one step further. The research that I'm doing right now, for instance, the most aggressive of all behaviors, the one we spoke about, which we call a dominant behavior.
Right.
The one that says, just get to it, and don't ask me about that, and I don't want to talk about the catfish
right.
fry. In fact, they are the easiest people to sell.
Absolutely.
You know, and the social person that's so much more enjoyable to spend time with and says, oh, absolutely, we're going to make this happen. You could spend years waiting
that's
for that
right.
to happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, every time you feel like, gosh, I don't know, this really isn't comfortable for me to move this quickly. But just remember that application will be signed faster than any other application you pull out of your briefcase.
Well, but the main thing is when they say yes or no, they mean yes or no.
Exactly.
And the other thing, Rob, that I found for those difficult people is they realize that they're a little bit in the minority But they still need to do business with other people. And once you conform to them, once you mirror them a little bit and you help them, you know, you don't make it uncomfortable for them to do business with you, you can't run them off.
Absolutely. Well, they know you're a no-nonsense person who's going to come in there. And, you know, and remember, we're focusing heavily right now on a dominant individual. We can sell social individuals, but we don't want to go in there and say, okay, let's just get to it, or now we've made them feel uncomfortable.
I think I've told you this story before. I know my audience has heard it because I've told it several times, but it's one of my favorite stories. It's about me walking in on the guy that you said when the guy said, how are you, and he said, why?
Right.
I called on a guy like that, and he was an accountant, a plant accountant. And I went in, and I was classic Jim Blasingame, and we got through. He said, "Well, Jim, you've given me the business." When I thought I was through, and I got up and walked out, and I said to myself, "You know what? That didn't go very well." And I turned around immediately, knocked on his door again, and I said, "Mr. Keener, can I start over?" And he said, "Yes, Jim, come in, sit down." And I went in, and I gave him the no-nonsense approach, and I had his business as long as he was there.
Wow. You know, and by the way, Jim, it's not a coincidence that typically people who are running businesses in decision-making positions are usually a little bit more dominant in nature.
Mm-hmm. Even if at other times they're a little more personable.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep. Well, when we get back from the break that I'm assuming is coming up, what I want to talk to you about is how to figure out who they are through their emails.
Well, we got about a minute. Go ahead and get started.
Let's get at that a little bit because, you know, a lot of times I'd love to be able to get into somebody's office and see whether we have the pictures of the canoe trip on the wall.
Right.
And see whether we have the family picture at the beach. But frequently for your audience, we don't even get that. We're going to exchange a couple of emails. We're going to get a voicemail or so. And, you know, I'll give you a classic example. I was dealing with Northrop Grumman, and I had an individual who was buying some training from me. And every time I sent an email saying, you know, dear so-and-so, and here's what we have, and take care, Rob Tullis, I got two sentences with no capital letters coming back saying, be here, do that, and not even a goodbye. And I thought, this person must hate me.
Yeah.
And in fact, what they were saying was, no, I like you. I'm just not going to write, have a good day.
That's right.
Have a great weekend.
If I didn't like you, I wouldn't return your email.
Right. And what they were showing me through their email was, now you're dealing with a bit more of a dominant individual.
Cut to the chase. Absolutely. Stand by, Rob. We're going to be right back with our good friend Rob Jolles after these messages. His website is Jolles, JOLLES.com. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, having a great visit with our friend Rob Jolles, the author of Customer-Centered Selling and How to Run Six Seminars and Workshops. Both of those books are available wherever books are sold, right, Rob?
That's correct. This
and
seminar book actually coming out in its third edition this summer.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
The Customer-Centered book is in third edition?
No, the seminar book.
Oh, the seminar book.
It's now in its 13th year and coming out in its third edition.
I didn't realize that had been out that long.
Well, I don't necessarily boast of that, but thank goodness we get to do new editions and clean it up. Because in 93, when I first wrote it, the AV section, for instance, we were touting how to stand next to that overhead projector. And if you really wanted to get crazy, where to get those 35-millimeter slides from.
That's right.
So thank goodness we've been able to kind of put a fresh face on some of those pieces.
That was PPP, wasn't it? Prior to PowerPoint.
There it is.
Hey, Rob, we're talking about personality persuasion, how to make sure that you're trying to help us understand how to make sure that we recognize, we not only, if as much as possible, that we know in advance the kind of personality the person has that we're going to be dealing with, but even if we don't know in advance, how to pick up those signals early on.
Yes. And let me get a nice wrap on this for you. We've really been focusing heavily on dominance, but where I said, take care and dear so-and-so, if you start seeing that in your emails, or if you start hearing very upbeat messages that tend to ramble in your voicemails, now you're dealing with a more social individual. And what I've done different than a Myers-Briggs or some of the others is, for salespeople, we got to keep it simple and short and quick. So I've really boiled it down to just three personalities. Analytical, which are going to be very fact-driven, social, which are going to be, as the word suggests, a little bit more social.
They're going to use the smiley faces, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And then, of course, you have your dominant. Now, once you make that determination, okay, be it through the seating arrangement, the way the office is set up, even the dress, then you begin to look at the sales side of it and say, okay, well, with a social, I'm going to ask a lot more background-type questions. And with a dominant, I'm going to accelerate through the process. And with an analytical, I'm going to not only say, ask them questions about how that's affected their company, I'm going to try and drive everything to a number, to how much time or how much money, and really begin to measure out carefully what they're discussing so that when I bring in a solution, I have more measured results as opposed to this will really make the office a better place. An analytical would never want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
A dominant actually would. Dominant just wants to know, will this make the pain go away? Good,
right.
I'll buy it. Okay? And so what you really do is you begin to see how to merge the two models together.
Is it possible, Rob, is it possible that a social person could, on any given day, convert to one or the other, the dominant or the analytical, because of either the circumstances that they're up against or whatever, they could actually move back and forth? Have you ever met people like that?
Well, what I've met, if they're a hardcore social, no. And we do self-assessments. If anyone's ever done them, you see where you spike. But you started this interview, Jim, by saying how a lot of times we are hybrids, how we're there,
right.
We're not necessarily just one. So when you see somebody that is not really hardcore in any particular area, then what we do is we see them move back and forth based on perhaps the pressure they're under.
Exactly.
Or who's pulling the chain above them.
And the reason I point that out, Rob, the reason I point that out is because we may have already categorized this person as social, and we come bebopping into their office, and all of a sudden they, you know, we see it on their face or what's going on. They're under a lot of pressure. We need to revert away from the social mode into the dominant mode or the analytical mode, just maybe just for that visit.
Absolutely, and that's why, you know,
that's what you got to be able to do it on the fly, don't you?
Yeah, and we use the words expand and contract, which is my way of saying, here's that sales process, here's that path to walk on. Now, remember, it's not a straitjacket, and what we're going to do is, through those clients' leads, we're going to let that model slow down and pick up. It's like riding a hot air balloon. We're going to give it some heat, and we're going to drop some sandbags off the side, but we're going to maintain that level. And that's what you're describing. Yeah, I love being able to make decisions based on the emails, voicemail, seating,
right.
Desk, office, but I also have to be flexible and understand no one just sits in one category.
And it might even be that you say, what's wrong? What's going on? What can I do to help?
Yeah.
And I've actually said, you know what? I think maybe I could help you the most if I just get out of your hair. And they'd say, you know what? You're right. And I'd say, okay, I'll see you next time.
Right.
Sometimes
that's picking up on the clues, Jim.
Yeah. Hey, Rob, thank you for being here. Thanks for 5 good years.
Thanks. Let's forward to 5 more.
Let's do 5 more. Thank you, Rob. Rob Jollis, ladies and gentlemen. That's Jollis.com. He's a great workshop guy, a keynote speaker, and trainer. You want to check his website. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.